Amen. Great job, ladies. Thank you for that beautiful singing. If I could get a couple of gentlemen to help us with distributing things, I think we have enough. I printed these packets that are on the front here. If you could make sure that everybody gets, they're about 8 pages each, and I think there's about 60 packets there, so we may have to get some more for tomorrow evening. But, they're all the same, yes. Once you get that, you can follow along with us as we, if we need to go one per family this evening, I'll get some more printed, but I think we probably have enough. Once you get that, you will notice on the front the theme of the conference, United in Prayer, as we've mentioned. You'll see the four sessions that we've broken things down into. Session one, that's tonight, looking at our church ministries, and I want to show you how we try to tie these things together as best we can. And then session two, that's tomorrow evening, the pastoral search. Now, ladies, don't think that that's simply just some specific prayer requests. They're highlighted in this note here, so don't think that you're being shorted on anything. On Tuesday, session three, the church teachers, I'll give you kind of the overview of where we're tying this into. And session number four is our church family. And I will kind of give you the overview here in just a few moments. But you'll also see on that cover there our theme verse, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you have your Bibles, if you would take and look very quickly with me tonight, again, I told you the emphasis is not on the preaching, the emphasis is on the prayer time. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I'll give you just a couple of verses to kind of gear our minds there, and then we will get right into the program as we explain what it is that we hope to accomplish this week. Matthew chapter number 6, I would draw your attention to verse number 5. This is Jesus talking, and he says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Verse number 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." There's a couple of little phrases that I want to draw your attention to just as we gear our minds and our hearts as we get kind of primed the pump this evening. Verse number 5, that phrase is this: when thou prayest. Verse number 6, that phrase is there again: when thou prayest. And then you'll notice the same kind of concept in verse number 6: when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And then verse number 7, this phrase: but when ye pray. You know, I think it's safe for us to say that when we look at the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and his teaching on prayer, though this is certainly not the only one, but when we consider that, I think it's safe for us to say that Jesus himself took it for granted that his people were praying, that his people were going to be involved in the business and in the life of praying. 3 times he says, in kind of a taking for granted approach, when you pray. This here isn't coupled with a challenge to pray. This is acting and this is speaking with the assumption that God's people are busy praying. When you pray, when thou pray, when you shut thy door, when you pray, when you're calling on my name, and then he's going to give us a pattern of things we should do and some things we shouldn't do. But he took for granted that God's people were going to pray. You know, I think that if there is anything that our church would want to be defined as, though it would be good to be defined and known in the community as a church that has passionate preaching, and though it would be good and noted to be recognized for the work that we're able to do worldwide through our Faith Promise missions giving, I would say that there is no greater work that the church should strive to be known for than the work of being active in our prayer life. Having a fervent and active prayer life that beseeches the throne of grace and asks that God would meet our needs and that we trust Him to do just that. So again, the comments are going to be brief. Let's go back now. God took it for granted, Jesus took it for granted, that His people are going to be prayers, that we're going to be involved in praying. So tonight, this week, that's exactly what we're going to do. But let's think about it for just a second. Let's break it down in the context of our sessions here. Session number one, tonight we're going to look at and pray specifically for all of our church ministries. I'll give you each one of them here in just a few moments. They're listed for you in your notes. But then session number two is our pastoral search. That's the process that we've been involved with now for a little while. We've been going through this for a couple of months, or a few months now. And it could be easy to grow weary in well-doing, but the Lord has blessed us with what I believe to be a pulpit committee and deacons and church family that use wisdom and that use discernment and that use and demonstrate patience in waiting on the Lord. But then we're going to look at the church teachers and those that stand and give teaching opportunity, those that stand and give instruction or deliver God's Word on a regular basis in our church and how important that is. And I want us to kind of tie this together. And then number four is our church family as a whole, as I've listed there. And I may have left a name or two off, so you'll have to forgive me. We can certainly update that as we need to. But here's what I want us to focus on is this. What we're highlighting is different areas of our church. They're all very, very important. In fact, every single one of these areas are important, and they're important for us, or they emphasize the importance for us, to have God's man to stand as pastor in this pulpit and lead these ministries, lead these teachers and help instruct them and encourage them, and to lead our church family in pastoral care and to lead our church family in the way that that a pastor, a loving pastor that takes care of his flock would. So we're going to look tonight at our church ministry. So I would encourage you to go in your booklet there to session number one. This is no secret. All of these things are probably, and we might could even break these down into a little bit more specific group and come up with more groupings. But when we consider our church ministries, we can't look very far until we recognize that this church is a ministry that encompasses other ministries. We have Victory Baptist Church, we have Victory Christian Academy, and inside the Victory Christian Academy, or as kind of an extension of that, is the Learning Center. All of those ministries are very, very important, and they all must work together for things to be successful and to run smoothly here. So when you look at our leadership, let's call their names specifically, and then I will give you kind of the charge as we break up into our groups. The, of course, interim pastor is myself, youth pastor, Pastor Newhart, our school administrator, Sandra Effler, our business manager, Trish Southern, our maintenance and facilities director, Marvin Burns. We have three deacons. This is no surprise to any of you. Albert Rogers, John Anderson, and Curtis Terrell. Our secretary, Jennifer Flugie. Our custodian, Ricky Pagode. Our school leadership specifically, the administrator, Ms. Effler. The learning center director, Ms. Zelma Franklin. Our elementary supervisor, Ms. Jordan. Summer day camp, Brother Mark Evans. And then I've listed specifically our church ministries, or those that we would consider an extension of this church. Now, again, we could probably segment out some different groups and break them down, drill down to a even smaller groups, but let's go through these before we break up into our groups, our group time for prayer. Victory Christian Academy, our outreach ministry or evangelism, In the van ministry, currently Brother Brandon and Miss Rachel Franklin and Brother Don and Miss Jeannie Carr are overseeing that and bringing boys and girls in very regularly, and we appreciate their work. The nursery, my wife schedules the nursery schedule, and she can tell you that were it not for a whole host of willing people that were willing to be flexible and willing to be committed to that ministry and opportunity, it would just be an absolute nerve-wracking thing. But thankfully, there are a lot of people that are willing to help out in that ministry, and she is very appreciative of that. Our toddlers, again, we have, just as Pastor Newhart mentioned earlier, we wouldn't want the toddlers running the toddlers, so we have to have people that are willing to do that. Our junior church, Brother Tom Effler, Miss Jane Jordan, Miss Julie Harder, Brother Brandon, and Miss Rachel Franklin. Our Sunday school, we'll cover each one of the teachers individually and by name and their families in session 3. Our choir and orchestra ministry, I will say this, I have an opportunity to hear a lot of music, as most of you do. I say ours is second to none. I am very, very proud of the work that goes into our music program and the sincerity with which our people approach worship and the preparation that goes into that each and every week. And we've got Miss Gill listed there, but as she would testify, there are so many people that help out. I think I've got her name misspelled there, but there are so many people that help out with that each and every week. And it's just something that takes so many people putting their hands to the plow and doing that. Our ushers, Brother Rick Reynolds heads that. Come on in, guys. Brother Rick Reynolds heads that up, and we have various others who help out with that. And so without those gentlemen, we wouldn't have an order to the service and getting people ushered in and taken care of. And so it's, again, another important thing. The sound room, Brother Bruce and Miss Connie Griffin, they work kind of quietly back in the back. And you notice that there's always microphones set up. There's always audio-visual taken care of to the extent our equipment allows us. And we appreciate the work that goes in there. The youth group, they're going to be doing something here just as soon as we say our final amen tonight. They'll be upstairs with parents and teens. And they have activities, and that's under the direction of Pastor and Miss Debbie Newhart. And Thomas and Stacy McCarver will help out with that. And that's a blessing to know that there are people that you can count on for that. You have the Patch, the Peanut, the Pee-wee, Pee-wee clubs. Pee-wee, drop the K. Don and Jeannie Carr. Brother Don is the captain back there, taking care of those things, and he's got Miss Jenny, and then Miss Rhonda Shaw helps out with the peanuts and the peewees. But they would tell you that there is a whole host of others who help out week in and week out, taking care of registration, taking care of crafts, taking care of different things that need to be done. And so there are so many different opportunities to minister there. Turn it over a page. We have our missions program. Currently, we are looking at taking on a couple of missionaries because we've had a few that have resigned or retired, and so we'll be making some recommendations at our next business meeting on that. Brother Dave Phillips kind of keeps his thumb on the pulse of that and keeping in good contact and updates us weekly on those prayer letters that we get in, and that's such a blessing to have somebody that sorts through those and is able to give us real time to the extent possible updates, and that's certainly a blessing. But to also our Faith Promise program, where people give week in and week out so that God's Word can go forth around the world and that His Word can be ministered and that Victory Baptist Church can have a part in that all over the globe because of our missions program. The nursing home ministry, Brother Mark Evans and his family, but also there's a number of people that go to that ministry once each month to minister and to share, and they're faithful to that work. And I know Miss Hazuri goes there, I believe, every week still to minister to their and to give encouragement and take opportunity to minister. And then you've got our grounds patrol. Somebody tonight, I believe it's Brother Phillips, is missing the opportunity to be here as we kick off this service because he's outside trying to get the best bet for your car and sell it for the highest price he can get. No, he's there watching out so that there's no nonsense or shenanigans that takes place in our parking lot. And again, it's somebody that gives of themselves week in every single service to do that. And Brother Rogers heads that up. And I think Brother Rogers gets those things, and Miss Rogers keeps the schedule up for him because she's on top of those things. And yeah, and so again, it's an example of so many different people coming together. But I wanted to go through every one of those ministries, and again, we could probably drill some of these things down that we could break them out into different groups. But here's what I wanted to keep in the back of our mind, of the thought that I had. Tell me one of these ministries, one of them, that can be effective long-term without the direction and oversight of a pastor. And the answer is none of them. Every single thing we do here, it's important. Every ministry that we have, everything that we're involved with, needs the direction and needs the oversight of God's man overseeing the flock and God's man tending to the work of the Lord here at Victory. Now, that's not to say that ministries can't take place and that they can't survive in the interim. They can, and they are. But the only reason they're surviving now is because, number one, God's allowed them to survive. But number two, it's because we've got people like you, people like each one of you, that put your hands to the plow week in and week out. And I don't want to puff you up, but I do want to brag on you and tell you I am proud to see at the way that people have rallied and people have stepped in and offered to do this and offered to do that. And they do this and they do that, and they take the effort and the initiative to make things kind of continue along. Everything we do is important here. Everything we do has a purpose and a reason, and all of them need the direction, and all of them need the oversight of God's man. God's man kind of at the helm, so to speak, and God's man giving opportunity for oversight and leadership of those things. There is absolutely nothing that we do that is not important for that role to be filled. So each night we're going to pray for a different group or different aspect of our ministry here. Again, this might be a little bit different from the prayer revivals of the past, in that we're not taking a specific night or a specific session to pray for the staff, so to speak. But we do want to incorporate that. And again, it's not to just put more on us than we can get through in one night. I hope and pray that we walk away from this conference understanding that every single aspect of our church, as unique as it may be, is important. It's important for us to spend time praying over it, but it's also important that we have God's man overseeing all of these ministries. And that's our prayer as we unite together, is, Lord, You've given us a whole host of ministries. You've given us a whole gamut of opportunities and ways and means to reach our community and our world and our families. Would You please send Your man in Your time to oversee all of these works that You've blessed us with? Each night, we have four sessions. We have four people on our pulpit committee. So each night, I have designated through our list here an individual on that pulpit committee to pray for. Now, I put some notes here about what to pray specifically for, and I will cover those with you, but it's important that you understand some of what I know Brother Kurt updated some on Wednesday, and we've tried to keep things as we had updates to give them, but it's important, it's really, really important that those men are prayed for on a regular basis. Every one of these men have different obligations outside of the pulpit committee. And every one of these men have obligations that are time-consuming outside of the pulpit committee. And the pulpit committee is a very time-consuming task to review and to read and to make contacts and phone calls and to accommodate other people's schedules. You've at least got to accommodate four other schedules, the other three committee members and a potential candidate that you would be discussing things with. So there's a lot of balancing and juggling that has to go on there. So when you pray specifically for these three things. Pray specifically for wisdom. Each one of us needs that. Pray specifically for discernment, that as we read things that we would not just let things go pass by, but that we would have a real discernment as we read things, as we talk to people. And then also pray for patience. Pray for patience for each one of us. And then pray for our families, if you would. Each one of those men have a family, and these obligations take away from that family's time. And so pray for our family and pray for each one of these. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that it is some great, huge, big sacrificial work, and I'm not asking anybody to feel sorry for anybody. That's not it at all. I just want us to this week really spend time praying for these specific things in relation to how important it is that we are sensitive to God's leading as He sends us, ultimately His man, to lead this ministry. So, with that, I've tried to keep my comments as brief as I could. Here's what I think we should do. Let's divide up into our groups of prayer, and we can we'll do men on this side as we typically do, ladies on this side. Let's get together in groups of five, no more than five, and then what we'll want you to do is to divide up this list and make sure that each one of these things amongst your group is prayed for, that each one of these ministries, each one of these names is prayed for at least once in your group tonight. So it is 6:45. At 10 after, that gives you 20, 25 minutes by the time we get there. At 10 after, I'll ask Miss Gill to play through a verse of something, and then we will all join together at the altar and pray specifically for Brother Thomas McCarville, who is our pulpit committee person that we've identified and highlighted tonight. And so we'll pray together at the altar for a retiring prayer at 10 minutes after for Brother Thomas McCarville as we close out this evening. So let's go ahead and divide up into our groups. And again, if we can get in groups of five, I think we can accommodate the time schedule tonight.